years ago, I preached a sermon here in this church. The title of the sermon was, "The Man Who Wouldn't Shut Up." Imagine my surprise when I got to church and I opened the bulletin and there was the message, "The Man Who Wouldn't Shut Up," and underneath, "Reverend Les Sutherland." And I thought, oh my. So I started that sermon with, I know some of you were thinking that I was going to preach on myself, but it wasn't that. And I started that sermon with a disclaimer and explained to you that it wasn't about me. It's about someone in the Gospels. But today, again, I need to start off with a disclaimer. Because the title of the sermon today, if you look in your bulletin, is "The Perfect Father." And underneath it says, "Reverend Les Sutherland." And I want to tell you, if you don't know, you could ask one of my kids, I'm not the perfect father, not even close. In fact, there are no perfect earthly fathers. There's none perfect. Now, I want to say this. I just want to give tribute to my dad, because I am so grateful to God that he gave me a good dad. He gave me a dad that I could look up to. He gave me a dad that taught me by example. I think he's one of the kindest, gentlest men that I have ever known in my life. Forgiving. A forgiving man, a faithful man, married to my mom for, I think, 62 years before he went home to be with the Lord. And I thank God for my father. And I know many of you today would say, and you have already said, many of you, thank God for my dad. But there's others maybe here today. Maybe you didn't have a real good dad. Maybe your dad was not around. Or maybe your dad was abusive. Oh, children, you're dismissed to go to your classes. Any children here that still need to go? I'm sorry. Thank you, Tom. But some of you might have had dads that were abusive. And that's really hard. That is very difficult. When you have a dad that is maybe not a good dad. But I think one thing we can say, no one here had a perfect dad, because there's no such thing as a perfect earthly dad. But there is, listen, there is a perfect father. Amen. And that's God. God the Father is the one and only perfect dad. You know, the Bible in the New Testament, it refers to God as Father in the New Testament alone 265 times. The New Testament calls him Father. And he is the perfect Father. And I said this before when we were talking about dads, but you know, the role of a father is extremely important, guys. It's extremely important. There's been study after study done about how important it is that there be a strong male figure in the family. I mean, there's been books. Josh McDowell has the book out, The Dad Difference, and all kinds of books written on this. And study after study shows it is so important for us who are fathers and grandfathers to be good fathers. We're never going to be perfect fathers, but it is important that we be good fathers, good grandfathers to our kids and grandkids. And so how do you do that? Well, I think what we need to do is we need to get our eyes on the perfect Father. We need to look at God the Father and imitate God and how God treats us, how he relates to us, his kids. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. That's what I want to share with you. How ways that God relates to us as his children. First thing we can say, God the Father is available, accessible, and approachable. I like that. He's always there for us. He never says, he's never too busy, and he never says, not now. I'll tell you one thing, I'll guarantee you, he never says, go ask your mother. He never says that. He says, call unto me, and I will what? Come on, do you know that scripture? Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Call me. He's accessible to us. We who are his children have open access to God the Father through Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures today. You want to write these down? Ephesians 3:12 says, in whom, Jesus Christ, we have boldness, which means freedom of speech, and confident access through faith in him to the Father. Through Christ, we have access. And I'll tell you, I've said this many times before, but the contrast between the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, in the people of God, one guy, once a year, the high priest, on the day of Yom Kippur, had direct access to God. He was the only one that could go behind the veil and be like face to face with God. Yep, one guy, once a year. Now, through Christ, that veil has been rent. And we have direct access to God. Amen. We can go to God. And we can be face to face with God at all times. We have access. And you know, he's available. He's always there. And you know what? This is amazing. He's approachable. Amen. Now, I want you to think about this. This is the God who created everything. Creatio ex nihilo, out of nothing. He spoke, and the universe came into being. He is the God who is the Ancient of Days, the I Am, who was and is to come. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He dwells in a high and a holy place. In fact, the Bible says he dwells, listen, in unapproachable light. And yet we, his kids, can approach him. Amen. We can go right to him. He wants us to come. He wants us to come. He states in Hebrews 4:16, let us draw near with boldness to the throne of grace. There's a cartoon that I read once that showed a little tiny tot, and he finds that everyone he turns to for attention kind of gives him the polite brush off. Mom is too busy. Dad is preoccupied reading the newspaper. In frustration, this little tiny tot gives up and he turns to the readers and he says, it's the story of my life, a busy signal. Aren't you glad God's not like that?
Amen.
God, there's never a busy signal. He's available, he's accessible, he's approachable. Kind of like the story about that took place in medieval times. The picture is a throne room, and this little child comes skipping into the throne room, and a guard grabs the child and says, wait a second, you can't go in there. Don't you realize that man on that throne, he's your king? The little boy pulls away from the guard and he says, he may be your king, but he's my dad. And he skips in and jumps on the king's lap. That's our God. Amen. That's our God. And I just have to tell it again. It's just like when my little granddaughter, Lucy, comes in when her mom brings her, Danny brings her into church, and she comes and she stands at my door, my office, and she stands on her tiptoes, and all you can see is her little eyes. And she's like this, and she kind of lets me know she's there, and I look over and I go, Lucy, and she opens the door and she runs in, Papa, and she jumps into my arms. Oh, I just love that. That's God with you and me. I was so neat. Last week down in Myrtle Beach, this was great. She'd come into our room in the morning and jump into bed with us, you know. And she just, Papa, Grammy, and she'd jump into bed. And I looked at her and I said, Lucy, oh, you, I love you. And you know what I love about you? She said, what? I said, I love the twinkle in your eyes. And she said, Papa, I love the twinkles in your eyes too. You have four twinkles in that eye and two twinkles in that eye. Oh, you know, and you know what? When we look into the throne room of God, he sees the twinkles in our eyes. He says, oh, come on in. That's the kind of God we have. He's approachable. He's available and accessible. He's like that. So I got to ask you, are you running into his arms? You can have access with God. Are you taking advantage? Are we taking advantage of that? Are we stepping on our tiptoes and looking into the office and looking with those twinkles and God's going, come on in. Abba, Papa. Are you taking advantage? Are you spending time with God? He delights in that. Amen. And dads and granddads, are you like that? Are you accessible? Are you available? Are you approachable? That's how our Heavenly Father is. That's what he wants us to be. Secondly, God the Father, you know what he does? He teaches and instructs his children. He teaches us. In fact, he's given us an instruction book, the Bible. And he's given us the Holy Spirit to teach us his word. That's why I delight when I see the men standing up. I'm reading God's word. I'm reading through God's word. I'm reading in God's word. I'm in God's word. Because God wants to teach us. You know what Psalm 32:8 says? This is the Father. He says, I will instruct you and I will teach you in the way that you should go. I'll counsel you with mine eye upon you. I'm going to instruct you. How does he do that? Through the word of God. Through the word. And he's teaching us. He's teaching us. And you know what? That's what the Bible says. Guys, dads, granddads, we're to teach our kids. Ephesians 6:4 says this. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's what the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 6:4-6, you remember the Shema, the great Shema, you know, the Lord is one, the Lord your God, the Lord is one God. And then he says what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Get the law in your heart, parent. And then do what? Teach your kids. How? Diligently. Diligently teach them. Take time with them to teach them the word of God. Several of the people here said, my dad taught me the word of God. Oh, teach them. Well, I put that. What should we teach them? Here's some things we should teach them. Teach them how to get saved. Get several of the children said, my dad taught me how to get saved. Teach them the gospel. Teach them how to use the Bible as the guidebook for living. Very important. Teach them to love God. Teach them to love the church. I'm going to tell you what. I don't know about you. I love the church. I love Christ Church. We were gone for two weeks. I couldn't wait to get back to church. Now, I know I don't have to listen to me preach, but I know you do, but we should love the church.
Amen.
Love God's people. That transfers to them by our attitude toward church. Teach them that. Teach them how to be wise stewards of God's resources. You know, teach them to tithe. That's a good thing. I think that's the soundest financial principle I could ever teach anybody. Teach them to tithe, to give to the Lord. Teach them how to use and how not to use credit cards. Teach them that. Teach them that the purpose of living is to glorify Christ, not to gratify self.
Amen.
Teach them that. That's important. Teach them to live by biblical convictions without compromise. Teach them the stories of the Bible. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're not bowing to your image, King. Teach them that. No compromise when it comes to the biblical convictions. We don't compromise those things. You got to teach your kids that. You got to teach them that. Teach them to live with a positive attitude in a negative world. Teach them that. Teach them, you know, listen, guys, I'll tell you what you need. You need to teach your sons specifically, and daughters, how to relate to the opposite sex. Now, I'll tell you what, my dad, that's one thing my dad taught me, I'm ever grateful for, is how to respect women, how to serve my wife. It came right out of my dad. You can ask my wife. I'm so thankful for that, to be gentle and not a drill sergeant in the home. My dad taught me that. We need to teach this stuff to our kids. We need to teach them to choose good friends. We need to teach them not to be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. We need to teach them God's word. God, our Father, is a great teacher. And you know what? We need to teach our kids. Fathers, dads, are you teaching your kids? You taking time with them and teaching them? And it's not just, and sometimes it's opening up your Bible, Brother Jeremy, and teaching them right out of the Word. Sometimes it's when you walk in the way, when you sit down, when you rise up, when there's a teachable moment, when you're out fishing, whatever. Are you teaching them? That's what God does with us. Number three, God the Father administers loving discipline to His children. You see, sometimes we teach our kids and they don't listen. Now, none of you had that experience. It's just my kids, you know, preacher's kids. Sometimes they don't listen. And sometimes we don't listen to God. Come on, give me an amen on that. Come on. You know, sometimes we don't listen to God. And what does God do? You know what God does? He spanks us. He does. You can read about it, and I won't turn. I have it here, but I'm not going to even read it. But in the book of Hebrews, it talks about that. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says that, you know, We look at discipline down here, and you know, generally, who likes to be disciplined? Would you raise your hand? Nobody likes to be disciplined. But God says, you know, the children that I love, I what? I chastise. And the son in whom I delight, I what? I scourge. Woo! I spank him. Why? Because he just is a sadist. He just likes to bring pain. No. Why does he discipline us? He loves us. He loves us. And when we love our children, that means we discipline our children.
Amen.
Listen to Proverbs 13:24. He who withholds his rod hates his son. But he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Diligently. Now again, my four sons, they didn't always listen. They didn't. I know it's hard to believe. You think my sons are perfect. There's one amen for my son. No, they didn't always listen. I thought about this. We were talking about this down at Myrtle Beach. And I thought about this. It was bedtime. And my sons would be playing a game or they'd be watching something on TV. And I'd say, okay, put away the game or turn off the television set and go upstairs. Time to go to bed. And what do you think they did? It was like they didn't even hear me. They did not even flinch. And then I would say it again. Guys, put away the game. It's time to go to bed. Turn off the television set. Get upstairs. Nothing. So I would quietly walk to the kitchen, open the drawer, and what would I get out? Spanking spoon. I had many wooden spanking spoons. I broke many of them. And then I would sing my little song. Spanking spoon, daddy's gonna get the spanking spoon. And it's amazing. I walk back in, television off, game's up, and they're upstairs. I didn't even have to yell. It was, man, my hand got so hard, and I'm hitting it with that spanking spoon like this. So I told that story down at Myrtle Beach, and little Lucy picked it up. And she's going around, spanking spoon, daddy's gonna get the spanking spoon. But she added, all day long. And I'll tell you, but you know what? God loves us. If you're a child of God and you don't listen, now he gives us time to confess and to repent and get back. But if we just get stubborn and we're going to do our thing, we don't care. You know what? God gets the spanking spoon out. He loves us. He's not going to let us stay in sin. And that is what a good, father does. Amen. He doesn't say, I'm going to tell your mother. or put it off on the mom. He cares enough. You know what? He cares more about his kids' holiness than their happiness. Amen. He wants them to love Christ more than to love him. So he's, and I want to emphasize this, lovingly disciplines them. We are not talking, and I have to say this in the 21st century because I don't want anybody to misunderstand. We're not talking about abuse. We're not talking about punishing people in anger. If you do that, you're provoking your children unto wrath. Yeah. And God says that's wrong. But lovingly disciplining your kids is, I believe, the responsibility of the dad, of the father. And that's what our Heavenly Father does with us. Number four, God the Father comforts and encourages his children. And I love Romans 15:5. It says God calls the God of perseverance and encouragement. I love that. And how many of us today, we all need encouragement. Amen? You need encouragement sometimes? I do. And God is always there to encourage us. He's always there to comfort us. In fact, 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. And that word comfort is encouragement. Amen. He's the God of all encouragement. And we need to encourage our kids. It is tough out there today. It's a challenge for young people today. And they need encouragement. 1 Thessalonians, put these verses. These are great verses. 1 Thessalonians 2:11 and 12. Paul writes, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each of you as a father would his own children. so that you might walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. See, Father does that. A father encourages. God the Father is the God of encouragement. It never, you know what? It never calls God the God of fault-finding and criticism. Aren't you glad? He's not the God of fault-finding and criticism. He's the God of perseverance and encouragement. And I want to say this to the dads. I am convinced, and you know, I've gone through raising four sons, and again, not perfectly, not close. But one thing I think I have found out, you can do much more through encouragement than you can through criticism.
Amen.
Yes.
You can do, let me say it again, you can do much more through encouragement than you can with criticism. Encouragement is a great tool for building Christ-like character into our kids. And I'm so thankful I have a God that encourages me, comforts me. Number five, God is a father who provides for the needs of his children. Provides for the needs. And you remember when we were in the series on prayer in Acts chapter 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, who seeks finds, to him who knocks it shall be opened. For which one of you fathers, he says, when his child asks for a loaf of bread, will give him a stone? And which one of you fathers, if your child asks for a fish, will give him a what? A serpent. And if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will your heavenly Father give you all good things to him who asks? You see, he provides for us. He gives us good things. Every good and perfect gift comes down from who? The Father of lights. See, he provides for us. Paul says, my God shall supply some of your needs, all of your needs, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He provides.
Yes.
I'm thankful. You know what? If I didn't know God was a provider, I might be real worried about the future. With a $20 trillion debt in our country and, you know, all this kind of stuff, I might be worried. But you know what? We don't have to worry. I don't care what happens to our economy. I have a God who will provide. As long as we are following him and seeking him, he will provide for all of our needs.
Amen.
According to, not my riches, his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So we got to ask, fathers, are we providing for our families? You know, I think a good father is a good provider. He works hard to provide for his family. Are you providing? Are you providing physically, emotionally, spiritually? Are you providing for your family? Number six, God the Father is a good example to his children. A good example. And you remember what Jesus said? Be ye perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Be perfect. Peter put it this way, 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, as the Holy One who called you, be holy yourself in all of your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy because I am holy. You see, God calls us to holiness.
Amen.
Because he is holy. He is the example.
Amen.
Follow his example.
Yes.
But I hear somebody say, that'd be great to follow his example, but I can't see him. I can't see him. I'd follow example if I could see him. Well, you can see him in the Word. Amen?
Yeah.
And you can see him in Jesus.
Yeah.
Because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. See? Look at Jesus. He is our example, because you see, the Son is following his Father. And we can see the Father in the Son, and we follow him. He is our example. He's our example. You know, in a world, in a society where there's no absolutes, no moral rights and wrong, where the moral compasses have no magnetic poles to give direction for right living, we need to look up to our Heavenly Father, to our perfect Heavenly Father. And his example in Jesus, and we need to follow him. We need to follow him. You know why we need to follow him? Listen to me. Listen, fathers, listen to me. Grandfathers, listen to me. There's eyes watching us. There's little eyes that are watching you. I can't see God the Father, but they can see you. They can see me. And so we need to look to his example. We need to pattern our life after Jesus. And we're not going to be perfect. We're going to fall short. We're going to fall down. And when we do, you know what we need to do? We need to give them an example of what you do when you fall down. Confess. You ask forgiveness. They need that. They need that. Our kids are watching. There was a little girl who followed her father as he walked through a newly dug garden. And as he walked through and tried to walk through, his little daughter followed him and put her feet right where he walked. And then she said this, "Daddy, if you don't get mud on your feet, I won't get mud on my feet." If my sons follow in my footsteps, they get mud on their feet. Will they be holy? Will they live holy lives? My, oh my, God is an example to us, his children. Our Father, which art in heaven, is a great example for us fathers who aren't in heaven.
Amen.
We need to follow his example. Number seven, and we're almost done here. God the Father sacrificially loves his children. You know, the first mention of love in the Bible, and I've shared this with you before, but I just keep on going back to this. The first mention of love in the Bible is in Genesis 22. And it's a love of a father for his son. You know, when I think of love, a lot of times I think of a mother's love, mother's heart. But in the Bible, the first mention of love, Genesis 22, it said, God said, "Abraham, Abraham." "Yeah, Lord?" "Take thy son, thine only son, the son whom thou lovest, and get thou up, take him into the land of Moriah, and offer him up there as a burnt offering." The son whom you love. First mention of love in the Bible is the love of a father for his son. First mention of love in the New Testament is in Matthew 3. And it's at Jesus' baptism. And God looks down and he said, "This is my beloved son. This is the son whom I love, and I'm well pleased with him." Amen. The first mention of love in the New Testament is the love of the father for his son. But if you jet over to Gospel in John, the first mention of love, and you all know it, right? John 3:16, "For God so loved us that he gave his son." I'll never forget the day that God spoke to me on that. I mean, I knew it in this, but I had my first son. And there I was holding my son, Jeff, down in that hospital in Chicago. And I thought, there's nobody in the world I'd give this child for. President of the United States? Sorry. Nobody. And yet God loved me so much that he gave his son for me. I'll tell you, that's sacrificial love. That blows my mind. I don't know about you, that blows my mind. There's a story, kind of brings this out. Back in the days of the Great Depression, there was a Missouri man by the name of John Griffith. He was a controller on the railroad. He was the one who worked on a drawbridge over the Mississippi River, and he would raise and lower the drawbridge. And one day, he took his 8-year-old son, Greg, to work with him. And there he was in the control room with his father, and at noon, John Griffith pulled the lever to raise the drawbridge to let ships come through down the Mississippi River. And then he took his son Greg, and they went down on the platform and ate lunch, and they were joking around as a father and a son do, and time passed, and all of a sudden he heard the whistle. It was 1:07. It was the whistle of the Memphis Express, a train that would be coming through. And he knew he had to hightail it from down on the deck back up into the control room, and he had to lower the drawbridge. So he ran up, he got up, he got his hand on the control lever to lower that drawbridge. And then he looked down and saw something that brought terror into his heart. His little son Greg somehow had fallen down into the gears that were used to raise and lower that drawbridge, and his foot was stuck. And so he had a decision to make. I can run down and try to get my son out of those gears. But he knew there were 400 passengers on that train. And if he were to go down and save his son, that train would wreck. Lives would be lost, many lives. People would be injured. And so the story goes that with tears in his eyes, he grabbed the lever and lowered the bridge. And the gears turned and Greg was pulled down and crushed. The Memphis Express came through, and again, with tears in his eyes, he watched as he saw in the windows of that train children eating ice cream cones, ladies sipping tea, men reading newspapers. And he said, nobody realized. Nobody understood the sacrifice that I made. I gave my son that you might live, and you're just going merrily by. God so loved the world. The Father so loved you and me. He pulled the lever. And Christ was crushed on the cross that we might live. What love? That's sacrificial love. Amen? Come on, that's sacrificial love. That's how he loves us. And you know, fathers, that's how we're to love our children. Amen. Sacrificially. Which might mean you have to give up things. Well, no, it might mean. It does mean. Amen. And different things for different people. Now, but there'll be sacrifice there. To help your children get up, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It takes sacrifice. Now, I'm going to tell you something that it was a little, I mean, just a teeny, teeny, teeny sacrifice, but it was a sacrifice for me that I gave up when my kids came, and that was golf. Is Chuck here? Chuck Blaisdell. You know, Chuck, this is the truth. I used to be a good golfer. I know it's hard to believe. I used to be a good golfer. I was on the golf team in high school. I used to golf in the 70s and low 80s. I did, really? And then kids came along. And you know what? I didn't have the time. And now I'm a lousy golfer. I'm a happy golfer, but I'm a lousy golfer. I can't golf. But I would rather try to be a good dad than to be the greatest golfer ever. I would rather be a good dad than to be Ricky Fowler today golfing in the U.S. Open. I would rather try to be a good dad than to win the U.S. Open and millions of dollars. Yes. Who cares? Now, again, does that mean you can never golf? No, I don't want to come across this way. But it might mean something that you really care about and you really love, a hobby or something. You know what? I got to put that on the back burner till the kids grow up. So you can sacrificially love your kids. Now, last one, and we're finished. God the Father always keeps his promises to his children.
Amen.
Always keeps his promises. For as many, 2 Corinthians 1:20, for as many as may be the promises of God in him, they are yes, wherefore also is our amen to the glory of God through us. In other words, when God says something, he promises something, he keeps his promise. He's the ultimate promise keeper. If God promises something, he will do it. He'll do it. He always does. You can count on him. And that's how we are to be with our children, with our wives. Can they trust us? Can they count on us? If we say we're going to do something, do we try at least? Do we make the effort to do it? That's important. Now, one last story here. Back in 1989, there was a devastating earthquake over in Armenia. In that earthquake, of 4 minutes, 30,000 people perished. 30,000 people perished. There lived in that in a certain area a man who had a son. And he made a promise to his son. This is before the earthquake happened. He said, "Son, Armand, you can always count on your dad. I will always be there. When if you have a need, if I can be there, if there's any way I can be, I will be there. I promise." Then the earthquake happened. The dad went as fast as he could to the school where his son went to school, and it was flat as a pancake. Parents were arriving. My son, my daughter. And just total grief. Just flattened. And this man, this father, remembered that his son's classroom was in the back of the school on the right-hand side. And he went back there and he started digging. Started pulling off stones. People came to him and said, "You know, it's fruitless. Don't do that. They're all dead. Look at this place. They're all dead." But he kept on digging. Kept on pulling off the boulders. He said, "If you're going to help me, help me." Firemen came, policemen came, and tried to pull him off and said, "You need to get out of here. This is dangerous." He said, "No, I need to know if my son is alive or dead." And he kept on pulling off he worked 12 hours. He worked 24 hours. He worked 36 hours. In the 38th hour, he pulled off a piece of a boulder, and he heard his son's voice. And he said, Armand. He said, "Dad, it's you." He said, and then he said this. He said, "Dad, I told the kids not to worry. That if you were alive, you would come to rescue me. And if you came to rescue me, you'd rescue them. And Dad, listen, you kept your promise." Wow. That's, you know, God is like that. And we men, we need to be faithful to our families so that our kids know that if you say something, we're coming through, man. The best of our ability, we're going to do it. Our wives need to know that. That we're going to be faithful. We're going to be faithful to our wedding vows. We're going to be faithful to promises we make. We need to be promise keepers. Now, God, man, God is so great. He is available, accessible, and approachable. He teaches us. He loves us enough to discipline us. He comforts us and encourages us. He provides for us. He's the example for us. He loves us sacrificially. And he always keeps his promises. Listen, I don't know, I'm speaking to someone here today. Do you know him? Oh, do you know him? Do you know him as your heavenly Father? I'll tell you, I remember the night I was saved. I remember one thing I said, if God is like that, I want to know him. Amen. Do you know him? If you maybe you're here, you never met him. I want to tell you a promise. He says, here's my promise. If you will believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead, and you will open up your heart, I'll come in and give you a relationship with me. Amen. That's God's promise. And if you don't know him here this morning, accept his promise. Say, Lord, come into my heart. I want to have a father like you. The perfect father. Amen. And guys, may God help us through his strength to be more like him. Amen. Amen. Lord, we just bow before you today, and Lord, thank you. We fall so far short of the glory of God. And Lord, we're so imperfect as fathers. But we are so thankful here today that we have a perfect Heavenly Father that we can look up to and that we can trust in and we can believe in and we can depend upon. Thank you, God. And help us, Lord, as human fathers and mothers and grandfathers and grandmothers and young people, help us to be more like you. You're a good, good Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.